Filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I am your host, Mark Walters, and I am filling your prescription for freedom from these Crossbreed Holster Studios. Sean Young down in Dallas, Texas. How are you today, Sean? You ready to dispense a few hours of pro-gun wisdom?
Yes, sir.
How are you today? Everything okay down in Dallas today? You guys had some strong storms a couple days ago, didn't you?
We had some strong storms coming in tonight. We're actually under a tornado warning.
So interesting. Yeah, they were telling us around this area a couple days ago that we were going to have two rounds of weather, early morning thunder and then late afternoon very strong storms. Of course, that never happened, and I scratched my head and I thought, you know, but they can predict 100-year global warming out there. I know.
I tell you what you need to do.
What's that?
You need to trademark that early morning storm. That's a great name for a band.
That'd be a great name for the band's first album. Hey, Sean,
no, that's true.
let's do something fun here. I got an email from Dr. John Lott.
Oh, how's he doing?
He's doing wonderful, and you too can get this same email. This wasn't a personal email. I'm on his list. And if you aren't on his list, over at Crime Research Prevention Center, Crime Prevention Research Center. I'll get that right. Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org to make it simple, and sign up for the email alerts. Here's the email I want to read this from John. Dear Mark, given how often self-defense advocates have to deal with Bloomberg's groups, I thought that you might find this exchange of interest. At the end of my appearance on C-SPAN's Washington Journal, I followed the producer's advice and directly raised the issue of Bloomberg's research director's refusal to appear on the show at the same time that I did. Did you hear about this, Sean?
No.
Over on C-SPAN?
Yeah, you know what? I did see that.
Here are clips that directly focus on the back and forth over Bloomberg's people refusing to debate the second and third videos. I'll get to that in a second. As you will see, he didn't directly answer the question until the end of his statement. And as far as I can tell, he said that Bloomberg's people would only debate people that they agree with. Now, here's why this is important. Let me set this up for you, and then I want to play the 2 minutes of audio. Then we're going to go to our first guest, the great Alan Gottlieb, and I'll get some insight from him on this, too, and see what he thinks about it. A man who has been on every split screen on every network you've ever watched knows a little bit about this. I found this fascinating when I first saw this. So what this is John Lott was on C-SPAN talking about what John Lott always talks about, his findings over many decades of research that debunks pretty much everything the anti-gun group can throw at him. And pretty much that simple. He's a treasure of information, a treasure trove of information. And Bloomberg's people were slated to appear on the program. They would not. C-SPAN's producers said, because they insisted they come on after John, they would not appear with him. And the C-SPAN producers asked John to talk about it. They felt it was ridiculous. The producers did themselves. So here's this guy for Bloomberg, their deputy director or whatever he is, on the program, taking a phone call. Sean, run the clip.
I think you were on the air.
Yeah, I guess that my first comment is I think it's quite telling that the people that are opposed to gun rights refuse to appear on screen with Dr. Lott or with other economists or criminologists whose research has shown that expanding gun rights is strongly correlated with falling crime rates and with reductions in violent crime. And I guess the question I would have is, you know, why is that? Why are those on that side of the issue so afraid of honest debate on screen, or at least on radio, or at this end? It's just across the board, they absolutely refuse to have any direct interaction with knowledgeable people.
Ted Alcorn, your response.
Well, I think, you know, one of the realities of today is that we live in a moment when gun rights in the United States have an unprecedented level of protection. The Supreme Court decision, District of Columbia versus Heller, in that, you know, one of our country's originalists, Justice Scalia, endorsed the individual right to own and possess a firearm, and rightly pointed out that there's nothing incompatible with expanded gun rights and the reasonable laws that we have to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people. And, you know, every town is committed to an evidence-based approach. We speak with criminologists, legislators across the country, and we welcome debate. In fact, we're thrilled that there is an increased amount of research in this area and an increased amount of conversation about what laws are effective to keeping guns out of the hands of felons and domestic abusers. So, you know, when there's a credible scientist, somebody who wants to have a real constructive conversation about this, we're going to be there. But, you know, wow. Folks who seek to minimize the issue of gun violence, the grave issue of gun violence in this country, or to draw attention away from the real issues to themselves, or, you know, that's not a conversation that I think it's productive to be a part of.
I cut that tape. In other words, anybody who finds anything that doesn't agree with this Ted Alcorn, who is clearly a Prius driver, is, you know, they don't even want to talk to him. I found that absolutely fascinating. It's so fascinating, indeed, that we're going to play that clip throughout the program today so that you can hear what these people are all about. Let's get some comments from my great friend, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, your great friend, a man who is now back in the country. We have a lot to talk with him about, and that's the great Alan Gottlieb. Alan, welcome, my friend. Welcome home.
Hey, thanks for welcoming me home. It's good to be with you.
What do you think about that, Alan?
Well, first of all, it doesn't surprise me, but I guess I will admit that I'm surprised he was candid about it. It sounded like he started out trying to duck the whole question to begin with, right, and not give an answer at all, then finally came back and gave the answer that, you know, they just aren't going to debate anybody because nobody on our side is credible, so to speak. But the truth is that I find this all the time. In fact, many times when I'm being booked on a national TV or radio show, it gets canceled because they want to do it as a debate, and they can't find somebody on the other side who will debate. The other side basically says, well, we'll come on, but not on the split screen, so to speak. We want to be there all by ourselves. And so I lose a lot of media, you know, hits that I would get because the other side refuses to debate.
That was fascinating. You're right about that. I don't know much about Ted Alcorn. Do you know who Ted Alcorn is? Other than, do you know anything about him?
For Bloomberg.
Yeah, he is that. He is that. Apparently, he is the research director for Michael Bloomberg's Every Town for Gun Safety, which also includes Moms Demand Action. What a silly name that is. But they, for whatever reason,
I'll tell you the real reason why they don't want to do it. He and Everytown have put out a whole bunch of studies and things in various states where they're pushing legislation that are totally 100% false with made-up data. And the last thing he wants to do is debate a John Lott where he has to come in with made-up data and John has the real data. That's the main reason why he won't debate. Some of the stuff they put out, they don't want any rebuttal to it. They want people to look at it like it's factual, when in fact it's totally, you know, garbage stuff that they put out with numbers that don't make any sense whatsoever. Where they lied about the number of police officers shot by people in various states to try and get laws passed. The numbers don't correlate to any government numbers that the government puts out. So I don't know where they pull this stuff out of thin air. But it's sort of like they like to make up statistics, and he's not about to get on a TV show with John Lott and debate him.
Yeah, and as you know, both you and I know John very, very well. John would never attack anybody on the air. He will let whoever is on the split screen with him talk, and then he will just come back with his findings and allow you to make up your own mind. However, what you hear from him, and it was very clear from watching this, I wish we could show it to you, but it was very clear from watching him that John Lott has forgotten more last night in his sleep than this guy ever knows. And there's no question why he wouldn't sit on that screen with him. Alan, let's move on. We've got about a minute and a half in this segment before Sean tells me that we've got 30 seconds left. You've been out of the country, so if you would, set it up for us where you were, and then we come back, we'll just kind of go wherever the conversation takes us.
I was in Vienna, Austria at a prep conference for the ATT for its rules, regulations, and enforcement and forms, and where they're moving on how they're going to implement the ATT. To be honest about it, my wife Julianne sat through all the meetings. I didn't. I was meeting with more of the people who outside the meetings doing lobbying and intelligence gathering. She actually sat through them, unfortunately for her, because it wasn't exactly a whole lot of fun. I would have lost my mind if I had to sit through the hours and hours and days right. This went on, dragged on. But it was really interesting, and I got a lot to report.
All right, perfect timing, ATT being the arms trade treaty. When we come back, Alan Gottlieb will give us the information from Austria, and we'll find out what it means to you. And not just you, but gun owners across America and around the world. Armed American Radio continues right after this.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you will meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom coast to coast, from Florida to Alaska and every part in between. I am talking right now with the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, also the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, CCRKBA, and just somebody who, you know, as a gun owner, as a freedom lover, whether you're a gun owner or not, we all owe a debt of gratitude to a huge debt of gratitude, and that is Mr. Alan Gottlieb. Welcome back to the program, Alan. A real pleasure, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys found out in Austria. Let's start with this, the arms trade treaty. We're not hearing a whole lot about that anymore coming out of D.C. Other things are beginning to overtake that. That's probably a good thing in the eyes of the Obama administration. Is this flying under the radar? What do we need to know?
Well, you know, the ATT has been signed onto by enough countries to make it a valid UN treaty, so the treaty is basically in effect and in force. The United States actually signed on to the treaty, but we have not ratified it in the Senate, so it's not binding law in the United States. But an interesting note is that the countries that signed on to the treaty are the only ones that now are allowed to go to any of the ATT meetings. So the United States, because we signed the treaty, are allowed to attend the ATT meetings, and hence, you know, groups like the Second Amendment Foundation as an NGO are allowed to attend them as well, even though they'd like to keep the pro-gun NGOs out from attending it. Our State Department has basically said that if you don't let American NGOs attend, then we're not attending either. And to keep the United States, you know, attending, they reneged and they allowed us to attend. So that's how we're able to be in Vienna. But what's interesting is that countries that didn't sign on to it are not allowed to participate. The countries that did sign on to it now have the right to amend the treaty by a simple majority vote in the future, rather than, as the UN usually works, with a consensus. They changed the rules for the ATT. So the countries that did sign on to it now can change it very easily anytime they want to, which is a bad thing. The interesting thing is that countries that did not sign on to it, like China, Russia, North Korea, Venezuela, Iran, all those that tend to supply the arms to, you know, the terrorists, the bad actors, the insurgents that the ATT supposedly was going to, you know, be able to rein in, because they didn't sign on to it, they're not allowed to attend these meetings. So as a result, quite frankly, the only people that were there were the people that had signed the treaty, and of course the U.S. who signed it but hasn't ratified it is allowed to, they assume, you know, the way their wording goes is if you sign it, you're allowed to participate. Interesting thing is those countries I just named that weren't there, they produce anywhere from 62 to 80% of the illegal or illicit arms trade in the world. And so if the ATT was going to ever regulate them, it becomes a real joke in the fact that they're not even participating or can't participate and haven't signed on and will not sign on. So there's no way the ATT could ever do its real stated purpose. Our concern, of course, is what it does with civilians' arms rights around the globe, particularly here in the United States. And what's interesting is they've really, not that they've backed off on what they really want to do, but they've now at this conference, and they don't have a whole lot of money, of course, to implement it, to regulate it, or to collect the data they need for their data collection. So they're starting out very, very slow. And what's interesting, they have to come up with this form for all the countries to be able to, you know, fill out to do the reporting. And it's absolutely hysterical what their initial rules are here. As an example, it asks you, for, you know, and they're trying to really track, what they're trying to do, Mark, is track the end user so they know who owns the gun. In some places it talks about end use, and in some places it talks about end user. But the interesting thing is for the initial forms here that they're tracking for the countries, they've got it so that if a country in its own national interest doesn't want to disclose, it doesn't have to. So, for example, if they ask a question, have you imported or exported handguns, and they want to know the number, you can just put down yes, no, and in the interest of our national interest, we're not going to tell you how many. So the whole thing becomes a real farce, and you're sitting there watching, you went spend all this time, all this money, doing this treaty for all these supposedly good purposes, and you don't even have a way to collect the data, and you have no way to track the data, or you don't even own a computer to put it into yet. They're looking at trying to figure out where they're going to base the enforcement for the ATT, what country. It may be in Vienna, and it may actually be in Port of Spain in Trinidad and Tobago, who the government there, as poor as they are, wants to put up a whole lot of the money so they could have the staffing for the UN thing sitting in Trinidad and Tobago. But they're so behind the curve and don't know what they're doing that sitting there listening to them talk, it's like you're scratching your head. These people really, you know, could they fight you out of a paper bag? Which I guess is good for us since we don't support the ATT because of what it might do to American gun owners. But the bottom line is that now it's boiled down to where the bureaucrats come into it to figure out the rules, regulations, and implementation. And now they realize they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Wow. Well, you know, the thing that concerns me and should, I guess, concern every American gun owner is the Obama administration does support the ATT and does want the treaty ratified. So this impacts all American gun owners, whether this current Senate ratifies it or not, does it not? I mean, this is not something we can let go of.
Oh, you're 100% correct, and everything you said there is true. What's interesting is that I'm going to go back in the ATT process because we attended most of the meetings for the last 4, 5, 6 years while this is all being debated and going on. Our State Department doesn't like the ATT. They don't like the rules, regulations, how it was set up, how it's being done. They're looking at the enforcement. It doesn't make any sense to them. And all through the whole process, the Obama administration stayed out of it and pretty much let the State Department, you know, do what they wanted to do. Up until it came time for the ratification or the vote to support it or not at the UN, and then they made the State Department delegates, who make up some of the delegates, vote yes for it. And then Obama, of course, his administration signed on to it. Now they've walked away from it again. So the State Department pretty much... it's talking about all the problems it's got and how you can't implement it, and you know, has a free hand in talking about that, like they did just in Vienna. They're pretty much on our side. The problem is for them is that they never know when the Obama administration is going to step in and tell them, here's what you have to do. But the administration is also inept and incompetent, which is a good thing for gun owners, because they haven't even given any real direction to the State Department what they're supposed to say or do. So the State Department's being intellectually honest about it, saying this treaty isn't worth the paper it's written on.
My next question to you, that kind of answers my next one. My next one was, why would the Obama State Department support you being there? This seems to fly in the face of everything we know about the Obama administration and their position on gun rights in America.
Well, I
think you've answered that.
Yeah, well, the State Department people who attend these meetings and do this work are career diplomats. You know, and to them it isn't about political ideology or we hate guns. Some of them may like guns, some of them may hate guns, but they're trying to be intellectually honest about it. And this treaty has lots and lots of problems that, you know, that would impact not just gun owners, but would impact our own State Department and our own commerce in firearms, our own country supplying firearms to, you know, maybe to the Ukraine or somebody else that we need to give them to help, you know, protect themselves against, you know, world terrorists or bad actors. So there's all kinds of problems with it. The State Department has been very friendly with us. As an example, we just had meetings in Trinidad and Tobago before the ones in Vienna, and the U.S. delegation said that if we weren't allowed to go, they were going to boycott it. And so the U.N. had to back down and say, okay, we don't want you boycotting it, so we'll let the Second Amendment Foundation come. Likewise, the next set of meetings is in Geneva, at the U.N. in Geneva, and then later on in the year in Mexico City. Because they move them around the globe, and again, we will be there again, because otherwise our State Department flat out said, if you don't let the Second Amendment Foundation be there, we're not going to show up.
This is Alan. We're coming to a close of the segment. If you would stay with us, let me bring you back into the next segment briefly. Alan Gottlieb of the Second Amendment Foundation. This is why this organization is so important, for the reasons that you're hearing. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
WWTC Minneapolis, St. Paul.
A service of Salem Communications.
Are you a homeowner at least 62 years young, need extra money to make ends meet, pay off bills, or simply live the life you've dreamed of? With a government-insured HECM reverse mortgage loan, you can use the money as you choose. If money's tight, a reverse mortgage can be a huge blessing. It means no more monthly mortgage payments and you still own your home. If you're a homeowner, at least 62 and extra cash would change your life. Call and learn how a reverse mortgage can eliminate your monthly mortgage payments and give you the extra cash you need while you remain in your home. The call and no obligation information are free. 1-800-815-1955. 1-800-815-1955. 1-800-815-1955. That's 1-800-815-1955. Borrower's responsible for paying taxes and insurance. American Advisors Group offers FHA home equity conversion loans. American Advisors Group is based at 3800 West Chapman Avenue, 3rd floor, Orange, California, 92868. Visit AAG.com for more information. MMLS number 9392. These materials are not from HUD or FHA and were not approved by HUD or a government agency.
Hit the road. Revisit Highway 61. Zip line through the North Woods. Splash across the Mississippi headwaters. Blow a kiss in America's most romantic city. Post pics from the country's largest sculpture garden. Spot a herd of bison and climb the quartzite cliff. Then catch the sunset from a paddleboard on the chain of lakes. Check out exploreminnesota.com and discover everything you can find only in Minnesota.
Okay, today's daily deal for our listeners is a risk-free professional teeth whitening kit. If you've always wanted your teeth professionally whitened so you have a bright white smile but haven't had the time or money, then listen up. National Dental Supply is sending a ProGel teeth whitening kit to the first 50 listeners who call 800-978-1254. ProGel is the same active ingredient and strength sold by many dentists for hundreds of dollars. And National Dental Supply is sending the first 50 callers from our station an entire ProGel teeth whitening kit risk-free. The kit has everything you need to dramatically whiten your teeth in just minutes at home without visiting the dentist. Professional gel dramatically whitens teeth so you'll look younger, healthier, and more attractive. And everyone will notice. But to see how great you'll look with a new, clean, white smile, you need to call right now before the risk-free professional teeth whitening kits reserved for our listeners are gone. Call 800-978-1254. 800-978-1254. 800-978-1254.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-440-2678. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-440-2678. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-440-2678. That's 1-800-440-2678.
Here's what you'll hear at the Fish Twin Cities.
Citizen Way.
Should have been me, should have been us, should have been hanging on a cross.
Selah.
Oh, our Lord, how majestic is your name.
Ellie Holcomb.
Online or on your smartphone, thefishtwincities.com. Safe for the whole family.
FamilyNow.com.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossfreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
Welcome back, and thanks for sticking around. It's always my favorite part of the week to be spending it with you here on Armed American Radio, and I hope you're paying attention to these last two segments. Absolutely astonishing. I'll get with Alan in just a second, but I have to take care of some very quick business. I need you to head over to USCCA on AAR, USCCA on AAR.com. Activate your subscription today for Concealed Carry Magazine, 30 guns, in 30 days, they are giving away today's gun. And you have 3 hours, 25 minutes, and 15 seconds from right now is a Kel-Tec PF9 simply by activating your subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine. USCCA on AAR. Alan, welcome back to the show. I'm talking with Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. And, you know, Alan, during the break here, Sean and I were talking, absolutely astonishing what we're hearing from you. And I don't think people can grasp and really wrap their head around precisely what it is you do for American gun owners, not just American gun owners, but freedom lovers and gun owners around the world. While we're here watching Bloomberg and watching the news and doing whatever it is we do and getting up and going to work and school and whatever it is, you're over there in Vienna, Austria, with literally with your finger on the pulse, with your wife, sitting in meetings and fighting off the global attempt to come after Americans' freedoms. Yeah, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. It's incredible. Thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome. But that's what I'm here for. Interesting thing, real quick before I know you've got to move on, is that less than half the member nations of the UN were even represented at this ATT meeting, and of course a lot of the world's anti-gun NGOs were there. But it's also interesting there were no NGOs and other anti-gun groups in the United States were there. So it's really kind of interesting that they're almost falling on their face right now. I'm hoping they don't figure out how to make themselves more effective. But right now, at least for gun owners in the United States, they are totally incompetent at their end, and that's a good thing.
What about Rebecca Peters?
She was not there. However, Ann McDonald, who basically runs Control Arms and has a very big say as an anti-gun NGO in what goes on, and she's at war with Rebecca Peters right now. They have a lot of infighting on their side, on the other side. That's another good reason for us to be there, is to see what's going on between their own players and where they're coming from. A lot of it is personality right. feuds and power grabs on the other side. And when they fight with themselves, that's good for us.
She was, of course, the director of the IANSA, the International Action.
IANSA.
IANSA, International Action Network on Small Arms, if I have that right. Well, Alan, I can't thank you enough, and I will take this opportunity on behalf of everyone listening to this program today, and even those that won't, that will be picking this up throughout the week on many, many thousands of devices. Thank you on behalf of myself and American gun owners and gun owners around the world for the effort that you put in. It's quite amazing how much time you spend on this and the lengths you go
to do this. Thank you for those kind words. Thank you for those kind words, Mark. And go get your next guest. I know you've got a full agenda today.
Yeah, we've got the Mad Ogre following you. That's going to be tough to do, but we're going to talk about some of the freedoms that we have because of the efforts of you and your organization. Thank you, Alan. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Sean, that's huge. People really don't wrap their head around it. It is hard to grasp it. We talk with Alan every week. Alan and I are good friends, and I know how hard he works on gun rights. And while we have people in forums and running around and running their mouths and doing everything they do, little small from the small work we do, you've got the little forums, the haters, the gun haters that are out there running their mouths on Facebook and all this, and none of them can stand up like this man. None of them represent their side like he represents our side. It is really amazing. Let's go to George the Mad Ogre Hill down in South Carolina. George the Mad Ogre Hill, how you doing today, brother?
Outstanding. Yeah, Alan is a fantastic guy. He's a champion of our cause. And if you see him at a convention or on the street or anywhere, just say thank you, because he does a lot of work and doesn't get the gratitude for it.
He is 100% accessible to anybody at the National Rifle Association Convention. He is right there at the Second Amendment Foundation booth. People walk up and talk to him and take photographs with him all the time. He is absolutely accessible to anybody. Now, he is going to be, hopefully, well, I should probably have confirmed this with him, but he is scheduled to be, the Second Amendment Foundation will be, and Alan is scheduled to be, at the USCCA Concealed Carry Expo, first expo in America of its kind, May 8th, 9th, and 10th coming up. I'll be there as well, and you can head over to concealedcarryexpo.com and check out the information on that if you'd like to come and shake this man's hand. And I'll report back to you before the convention to confirm that he's going to be there. His schedule is very busy, as you can tell from hearing him on the show. But the opportunity to meet a man that does so much, well, it's really something else. I talk with him all the time, George, and even I can't really fathom everything that goes on. You know, he's out of the country for 7-8 days at a pop, fighting for on behalf, because there are people outside this nation that hate our Second Amendment, and they're doing everything they can to take it away. That's really something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get
George. Well,
freedoms because guys like him are battling for us.
Yeah, so, I'm telling you. And
let's make the most of those freedoms. Let's make the most of it.
Well, let's make the most of it with this conversation right now. I ordered my Glock 43 today from a gun shop that you have been in with me. We'll go unnamed. But I've ordered my Glock 43.
Nice.
It'll be in later this week. Tell me, did I make a right decision? Is it a right move?
You know, it is, because you're a Glock guy, and you appreciate the finer things that Glocks do. You like that simplicity, that uniform, homogenous trigger, guys like Rob Pincus always advocate, you know, the simple but effective mechanism. Now, that 43 takes all that goodness and puts it in that really narrow, compact, subcompact, single-stack format. So kind of like the Glock 42, but it's a little bit larger, so it can handle the full-size 9mm cartridge, and it does it exceptionally well. It is a Glock that will just evaporate on you. It'll disappear. You can carry it anywhere. I mean, forget carrying, you know, anything smaller or less comfortable, because you could have been carrying the 43. Now, they're late to the game. They're about 4 years late to this game, and there's
well, they are. They were 4 years or 5 years late to the game with the 380s, and I understand that. We joked about it here, okay? Mm-hmm. But as we said, let's be fair here. Even though they were 4 or 5 years late to the game, this will be their number one seller in 2015. There is no doubt about it. It was unveiled just a couple of weeks ago back in Nashville. It was rumored to have been unveiled at SHOT Show in January. They did put that off until the National Rifle Association convention. Mm-hmm. They waited another couple, 3 months to do that. Let me ask you about the actual. Let's go to the size of the Glock 43 first. I've been able to see the gun, but to those listeners who have not, let's paint that theater of the mind. If you know a Glock, you've got in the frame, you've got the 20. Let's take the 9mm. You have the 26.
Mm-hmm.
You have the 19, which is probably America's number one concealed carry gun, I believe, and then you have the 17. Now the 43 is going to fit where between the 26, which is the subcompact, and the 19, which is the compact. Give us that visual if you can.
Well, it's very small. Being, you know what, it's just a little bit smaller than the 26. In narrow, the height.
Right.
From the top of the slide, or the top of the sights, to the bottom of the base, it's a little bit longer than a 26. Okay, but it's so much narrower, and that's where the bulk of the gun is. That's going to, you know, kind of give it away, is that width, because you have.
All right, this is a 9mm. That George, right. We're getting ready to take a break, so let me stop you right there. I hate to have to cut you off, and I know somebody out there is saying, "Well, you shut up." That's because we're getting ready to go to a break. You can't hear the music I'm about to hear in my head, and you don't have the benefit of hearing Sean telling you that. So I want to stop you right there, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about its shootability. I know Mossad's done a lot of work on it, but I want to get it from you when we come back here on Armed American Radio right after this.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Beginning this year, Magnum Research Incorporated, a car arms-owned company, is proud to bring the Baby Desert Eagle 2 back to the U.S. market. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 offers a double-action, single-action trigger and plenty of firepower. Available in 9mm, 40 S&W, and 45 ACP, several barrel lengths, and either steel or polymer frame. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 is an exceptional handgun value. For more information, visit MagnumResearch.com today. That's MagnumResearch.com.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with 2 magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300 degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
The Ruger American Rifle, an American legend is born. The Ruger American Rifle is a 100% American-made firearm that offers outstanding performance at a great price. It features power bedding integral bedding blocks for outstanding accuracy, a Ruger Marksman adjustable trigger for a crisp user-adjustable 3- to 5-pound trigger pull, a flush-fit 4-round rotary magazine for smooth, reliable feeding, and a short 70-degree bolt throw for ample scope clearance and fast follow-up shots. Help Ruger raise $1 million for the NRA. Visit Ruger.com/million to learn more.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
A little bit of Earl Scruggs to bring us back. You know, it's funny, Sean, he's great at what he does. We've been doing this a long time together now, about 6 years. Heading into 7 years soon. And every once in a while, you know, Sean will make a mistake. He'll keep his mic on or something like that. And I love that because that's just raw live radio. And that happens from time to time. But it has to happen when I say, George, I'm sorry, I have to cut you off. You don't have the, you know, you can't hear Sean. And we come back into the break and Sean says, he heard that time, so did everybody else. I said, what are you talking about? The 30-second cue that he gave me, his mic was live. And he's done that twice.
Yeah.
In the past couple of weeks, and he had to pick this time to do it when I'm telling my guests that he couldn't hear it.
Back up. And I've done that only twice since the show has been working.
Both of them in the last couple of weeks. I got it on audio. You can go back and listen to the show.
If anybody heard that, tweet Mark and prove me right.
Hey, I'm glad you said that. Let's get the Twitter feed out there, at AAR Mark, at AAR Mark. Send us your thoughts. More than happy to read you on the air. We do have a Dynamite program. The remainder of the program is Dynamite. We've got Ernie Emerson from Emerson Knives is going to be here in the same at the same time. We're going to be talking with, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. Always a lot of fun and a bundle of energy. Grossman is, in fact, he's the one that coined the term Shonto for Shonto.
Yep.
Which we will have some fun with. He also predicted Newtown on this program. Not city and school and town, but he predicted the event 6 months before it happened, and it was very uncanny. how that whole thing went down. Very, very bizarre. Let's go back to George Hill, the Mad Ogre. George, I was asking about that Glock 43. Let me tell you a little bit about that thing that kind of concerns me somewhat. And that's the size in a 9mm with that width, because I carry a lot of Glocks. Mm-hmm. I carry cars. I carry Glocks. I carry Smith & Wessons. You know, I've got just a whole bunch of different handguns. But that width in that 9mm is in that small package for a lot of people can be a lot daunting. To handle.
It can be daunting. And I was afraid that would make the gun feel very sharp in the recoil. Now, I'm not going to lie, it was a little snappy, but, you know, the recoil was very well dampened, and it didn't have that sharp, painful kind of experience mm-hmm. that it could have had with some single-stack 9mm. I'm not going to name names, Kel-Tec, or, you know, the Ruger LC9, but this was very controllable, and it was also very accurate, and that's the critical thing. You're able to be accurate with this gun. You can place your hits. I've got a video on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and look up George Hill Glock 43, you'll see my video that I did at Point Blank Range. And for your audience who doesn't know, I'm no longer at Blackstone. I'm now at Point Blank Range. Now, I got this gun. We just got it in. I grabbed it, grabbed some ammo, and I hit the range, and I test fired it. And you're seeing my raw reaction. You know, I didn't shoot it beforehand. I was very impressed, you know, and I'm able to make good, effective hits. Even though I'm taking my time, I'm getting to know the gun. It shoots very well, typical Glock. 5.5 trigger, very usable. I recommend it highly. However, if you already have a gun such as the Shield or any other gun that's in the same category, because this is now the biggest category for concealed carry guns, is the subcompact single-stack 9s. If you've already got one, well, I'm not seeing a huge reason to shift over to getting the 43. Now, see, you got the Shield for your wife.
Oh, that's so right. I was just going to say, we have the Shield. I also have the Shield, which is a great little gun.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And let me make a comparison between that and the SIG P938. I have a SIG P938. I love the P938. This is a gun that has some heft and some weight to it in that small package. It's going to be very similar in size, also a single stack, with the metal frame. Not the polymer frame, so it's going to feel a little beefy for you. You know the way to describe it. I hate to do this, but I'm going to. But it feels the way a gun should feel. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. It feels like a gun. And it acts like a gun. Because of its weight, it is a real joy to shoot. I've always enjoyed shooting the P938. I carry it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredibly accurate. In large measure, because it's not, and I'll use your term, which I like a lot when you're talking about recoil, it's not real snappy.
Right.
Compare that to the 43, that lighter polymer frame in that Glock. Let's make that comparison to people who might have that heavier 9mm single stack. Maybe the car. I have the car CW9. Let's make that comparison.
The CW9, it does feel very snappy. It's got a simpler recoil mechanism that doesn't quite dampen it the way that the Glock does, because the Glock is using a... They did a lot, and this is why it was delayed. It was that they had to get the engineering right on this, because it's a Glock, and the reputation rides on this gun, because this is a gun that everybody's been waiting for half a decade. Everybody's been wanting this gun. They've been waiting. So it had to be right out of the box, and they did it. They nailed it.
Okay.
So it's that recoil dampening mechanism. You got multiple springs in a device that would normally be a spring and a recoil guide rod.
Right.
So it's everything that a Glock is, just smaller. I think it's a brilliant gun. And if you're a Glock aficionado, if you're a Glock connoisseur, or if you don't have a subcompact single stack 9, this is the gun to get. This is just what I said about the 380, the Glock 42. This is going to be the segment leader. You know, if you're looking for a gun in this category, the Glock 43 is it. I think maybe the Shield might be a little bit more comfortable because it's just a little bit wider, and, you know, I can get a full grip on it.
Well, the grip of the Smith & Wesson, anything in the M&P line, is incredibly ergonomic. It's going to feel much different to you, regardless of who you are. I'm not telling you, I'm not that person that's saying, well, this is the gun you need because you're a woman, or this is the gun you need because you have small hands. What I'm describing to you is the actual feel of the grip of the gun itself. Mm-hmm. The Smith & Wesson, as you, George, will have my back on this, particularly the M&P line, is a very ergonomic feel. It's a very ergonomic grip. It's designed around the hand, where a lot of people will say the Glock is very boxy. Its frame is very boxy. Okay, so there's a difference in that grip. And that grip can really fool you a little bit into comfort. Mm-hmm. Because you're going, you know, the gun might be, I like the term, let's go to snappy again. A gun might snap back a little bit, but that ergonomic grip can fool you a little bit. So you might be getting a little bit of limp wristing going on in the power of a 9mm in that very small frame. And you might mm-hmm. be losing some accuracy, where coming back into that Glock with that little quote-unquote boxy feel might be a whole heck of a lot more accurate for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now the 43 though, it's not as boxy. Glock has made it a little bit more ergonomic.
Right.
But for me, the grip is so narrow, and you know, and it's so small, I can't get a full grip on it. You know, I'm
right. Well, let's stop there for a second, because a lot of times that means that gun can be swimming in your hands. That's going to cut down your accuracy as well.
Right.
Are you going to overcompensate for that? By squeezing that grip a little harder?
Yeah, you're gonna grip it a little harder. And for me, with my, I've got some arthritic fingers. I have kind of a little bit of a hard time on the 43 as it is. But for me, I was still able to shoot it, I think, very well.
All right, I need to stop you there, George. That you didn't hear Sean this time because he was quietly in my head. So what I'm going to do, we've got 30 seconds, George, so I'm going to have to cut you loose here, but I'll ask you to hold on the lines if you would. You've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. That was George the Mad Ogre Hill. You can read all of his reviews at madogre.com, and I highly recommend that you do so. Remember, I tell you every week, and I'll tell you right now, to carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. We'll be back with Emerson Grossman right after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.